Thanks, Al. It has been a pleasure being here, so thanks a lot, organizers. Yes, what I'm going to talk about is basically Fourier solutions and how they're related to high oscillations, because the problems, the only relevance to the previous talk is essentially about cat. I'm in the framework of quantum mechanics, so if I drop the cat from the second store, I don't know whether he's going to be dead or alive. Now, this is an outline of my talk. So I'm going to talk about multiscale problems in quantum mechanics and why essentially we need, in most cases, effective theories to address those problems. And I'm going to explain that in the context of so-called low-dimensional nanostructures. I'll briefly mention how we construct model hierarchy in this field and why do we need averaging in applying multiscale methodologies. Now, my main tool here, and as you've seen also in the title, is going to be multi-band effective mass models, and I'll explain this on an example. And then I'll sort of talk how to eliminate these spurious solutions, which are completely unphysical, but at the same time, which we will get if we apply even generalized multi-band effective mass Hamiltonian, which is the state of the art at the moment. And then, sort of using this framework, I'll try to address the problem of the importance of coupled effects, because the structures that I'm talking about, they are nanostructures, but they are semiconductor nanostructures. Semiconductor nanostructures, most of semiconductors are also piezoelectrics. Therefore, you have interactions between electric and mechanical fields and many other effects that have to be accounted for if you would like to sort of to address the problem. Now, it's needless to say that electronic structure calculations is among the most fundamental tools in exploring properties of materials and systems in nature. And, of course, achieving a high accuracy is very important, but what I believe is even more important is construction of efficient models allowing achieving computationally cost-efficient solutions. And essentially, tool for that, for constructing such models, very often are provided by effective theories. What they allow us to reduce degree of freedom and bridge modeling scales. In a sense, it's pretty much along the line what Bjorn was talking about, when essentially we are trying to sort of to use, we're addressing multi-scale problem, and we are trying to derive sort of certain equations for what he called sort of slow variables. And in my case, it will be sort of effective mass theory that I'm going to apply. Now, all this, I'm going to talk about sort of low-dimensional semiconductor nanostructures, and the size of those structures that I'm talking about is from 1 to 100 nanometers. I mean, you know what is nanometers. Say, your hair is roughly 10 to 100,000 nanometers. And those low-dimensional nanostructures are usually called heterostructures. An example I given here, quantum wells, quantum wires, quantum dots. If you don't know what sort of is that, it's easy to explain. Essentially, the motion of electron could be confined from one direction, and then we are talking about quantum well, from two directions, spatial directions, then we are talking about quantum wires, and from all three spatial dimensions, then we are talking about quantum dots. Now, if you are mathematicians, this picture should suffice, because essentially the problems that we are addressing for this low-dimensional semiconductor nanostructures is the following, that inside you have certain type of material, and outside you have a barrier material which is completely different. And they are sort of lumped together at the atomistic scale, at the scale of atomic lattice. How to sort of address how to construct mathematical models for this type of problems? Now, it depends where you stand. I mean, you could move sort of top-down approach, or you could use bottom-up approach. I mean, from top-down approach, you could start from Liouville equation, you could construct a hierarchy of mathematical models, sort of going to fluid dynamics-like type equations, and then try to incorporate quantum effects, for example, sort of using, say, relaxation-type hierarchy of the models. But what I'm going to talk about, sort of bottom-up approach. Therefore, I'm sort of will start from Schrödinger equation and will try to incorporate these additional effects, which are important as we go. Now, if you would like to have a little bit sort of more close picture how these low-dimensional nanostructures look like, This is atomic force microscopy image of quantum dots essentially sitting on substrate. And of course, there is not one, but there are many of those quantum dots. Of course, they have different sort of shapes, and therefore they have different properties. So if you would like to design certain devices based on these quantum dots, we have to pay attention to those properties, which we could predict essentially with models that we are constructing if you are careful enough. Yeah. Now, of course, taking each quantum dot in isolation can be managed. And sort of there are a number of people here from Caltech, from Purdue, and groups over there sort of do atomistic calculation, 20 million atom simulations and more. But see, the problem that we are addressing is essentially a clearly multi-scale problem. So you have essentially this substrate, which is very sort of thin. And if you do account this substrate also in account, you could show that complexity of your calculations would increase substantially in several times. And it is important to account this so-called wetting layer or substrate on which these quantum dots are grown. And even if you do these large-scale atomistic simulations, we have to account that atomistic forces that would enter your Hamiltonian are also approximate. So again, if you add to this a number of important effects, such as piezoelectric effects, as I mentioned before, basically you do need some clever averaging procedures if you would like to succeed in modeling of those low-dimensional nanostructures that I'm mentioning here. However, what sort of averaging procedures essentially could you use over atomistic scales? You could use a number, there are a number of tools available. And basically my talk would be mainly related to these so-called K.P approximations, which essentially allows us to represent electronic structure in a continuum-like manner. And therefore, it's well suited to incorporating those additional effects that are quite important. Now, there have been a number of talks that people were talking about solving eigenvalue PDE problems related to Schrodinger equation of this type. At least one talk where a nice example was given related, for example, to chronic panic, example. That example is very nice, but the framework that is used there is essentially that we are considering free electrons in the entire crystal. And of course, the motion of those electrons are not exactly what we see in real nanostructures, because motion of electrons, of course, is affected by potential of the crystallic lattice, by these piezo effects that I've been talking about, and so on. Therefore, it surely should be modified. Because I'm considering nanocrystals, it's reasonable to consider crystal symmetry or characterized by transformations which essentially would preserve the bulk structure and therefore Hamiltonian or free energy operator invariant. So the representation of the translation group are characterized by a vector K in the Brillouin zone of the crystal, and it's pretty natural to use plane wave expansion type for your wave function, where this essentially emphasizes you that we have already decomposition between vector B, which is a reciprocal lattice vector, and K, which is a wave function vector in the Brillouin zone. Now here's the point, and here's the main advantage of this K.P approximation that I'm talking about. I'm not considering the entire atomistic simulation here. What I do, I take into account the fact that the number of electrons and hole in the conduction and valence bands are small compared to the total number of atoms in a crystal. Therefore, this is the way that allows us to proceed much further compared to those calculations that we could do with ab initio atomistic simulations right away. Now, if you would like to put the setting for this talk, this is the sort of the framework for this talk. If you'd like to go to the end of this talk, essentially the model that I'm going to derive here using this averaging procedure looks like this. So basically your Hamiltonian will be a matrix 8 times 8, and this matrix would contain essentially when we are talking about semiconductors, we are talking about this conduction and valence band. So if this is lowest conduction band, this is highest valence band, there is also band gap between them. So this is sort of the most important characteristic, if you like, that I'm operating here with. Essentially, in this model, we are going to take into account this conduction band spin up, conduction band spin down, and three valence band with the spin up and three valence band with the spin down. So the original Hamiltonian is essentially approximated by the Hamiltonian of this type. I think that what Arya was talking about in the context of this Fox-Lee equation is essentially sort of more general idea applies also to this type of problems, because essentially what we do here that this part essentially of the entire Hamiltonian includes the bands that we are solving for. In our particular case, it's 8 bands. And the rest is remote bands. Eigenvalues essentially of this problem would essentially be defined by this part of the matrix. Now, so this framework is essentially effective mass Hamiltonian. It has multiband structure. And it is known since the sort of Luttinger-Kahn and before, how to apply this effective mass Hamiltonian. But it has been relatively recently when people essentially were trying to extend this to nanostructure modeling. And mainly due to Bert Fuhrman contributions, is essentially it's has been developed. So for nanostructures, we can derive a set of integral differential equations for the envelope function, or you could view that, as I said before, as a sort of slow variable in the system, based on this generalized envelope function theory. And what we do essentially in this theory, we restrict attention to the behavior of such functions on the scale larger than lattice constant by essentially neglecting non-local terms, which you will see in a second, and this is on the order of sort of 1 angstrom. Now, the problem here is, even if you derive this, state-of-the-art fit of all experimental effective masses in your Hamiltonian may lead to spurious non-physical solutions. So my task is now explain how those physical non-physical solutions arise and how to sort of to get rid of them. Because the models here sort of are completely reasonable and let's see. I sort of restrict because it's the simplest way my consideration to one-dimensional nanostructures, which in my context you could view that at quantum well sort of type nanostructures. Of course, it is a multi-scale problem, and you have to view at least that from the point of view of two different scales. One scale is essentially heterostructure, nanostructure scale, and the other scale is this atomistic scale, where essentially where we have joined between two different materials. And essentially, this generalized multiband effective mass envelope function theory is trying to remove one of these scales, namely this atomistic scale, and try to derive the equation for so-called slow variables, or sort of physically speaking, its envelope function. So how do we do that? We start with the expansion of your wave function in a complete set of periodic orthonormal function un. So pretty standard stuff. What you have to know, though, that, of course, A here is the length of the period given by atomic structure. And the second thing, that the Fourier expansion is restricted to the first Brillouin zone. This is two things that you have to bear in mind for further consideration. Then, you know, skipping details, what you essentially would come to, you would come to a set of infinite number of integral differential equations of this type. And this term on the left-hand side part is non-local part. Essentially, this part is due to exactly this cut-off of your plane wave solution to the first Brillouin zone. And it could be clearly seen if you move from real space, where these equations are represented, to the K-space, to the Fourier space. So if you represent these equations in the Fourier space, you would see something like this, and you would see clearly that essentially this non-local term that arises exactly due to the first Brillouin zone cutoff of your Fourier series. But this is essential due to the physical consideration, as I mentioned before. So what do we do with that? Well, What we do, we seek a unitary operator U, which block diagonalizes the problem up to arbitrary degree of accuracy. So essentially, we rewrite the previous problem. Again, I'm operating here in K in Fourier space. And then we divide the set of all our functions UN into two groups. A finite group A, which we want to solve for our equations, and group R, which are remote bands. And so we seek this unitary operator in such a way that this is essentially zero. Now, how do we do that? Well, unitary operator U is sought in the exponential form, and we expand this S in the power series with respect to small part of the Hamiltonian H hat, which is basically this rewritten in the Fourier space part of Hamiltonian. And then this part could be, it's more or less trivial things to expand or to represent this H hat in the components of this expansion, S1, S2, S3, and so on. And then we could choose S1 so that H hat is block diagonal to the second order of H hat 1. H hat 1, I just reminded, this is small part of your Hamiltonian. And everything else is sort of belong to the other part of our split. So we can choose S1 so that this is satisfied based on the previous conditions. And explicit form for S1 could be given in this form. And we could continue this procedure. We could choose S2 so that H1 is block diagonal to third order in this H hat 1, which are small components of your Hamiltonian, and so on. So what do you come to? You come to you reduce the problem to the finite set A to any order in this H1, H hat 1, which are essentially small part of your Hamiltonian. So for example, if you neglect all third order terms, you would come to something like that. And this is exactly multiband model that I'm talking about here. So how can you use that? Now, the first example, of course, you can see that you don't consider nanostructures. It's difficult sort of situation. You can see the complete bulk material. I mean, homogeneous sort of bulk material. And if you do that, you could, and you can see the sort of potential, pretty simple sort of bulk type potential. So the Bau model would be reducible to this type of equations, but I guess it's, if you are not in this area, it's hard to see what's going on here. But on the next slide, sort of you would see that essentially the model, if you take into account just two bands, would look like as two sort of, this is, if you open these operators here, it would be a system of two partial differential equations that essentially you have to solve. But fortunately, in this particular situation for bulk case, and also these two equations correspond to valence and conduction band in semiconductors, so in a way similar to what I sort of described before. You do not, so on the one hand, you could solve the system basically in this particular case analytically, and on the other hand, you could compare your result with what you can get, say, for example, plotting dispersion relationship. So what is plotted here is energy versus K, this wave number. So red dots are essentially our approximate solution, and these two blue lines correspond to the same bands that we sort of are trying to compute numerically. Now, for conduction band, it's perfect agreement. For valence band, it's not perfect agreement, but it would be perfect if we would increase the number of these valence bands. So for bulk, essentially, we don't have any problems. The methodology works perfectly fine. What's going on for nanostructures? For nanostructures, the situation is different, because what you are coming here to, you are coming to pseudo-differential operator or pseudo-differential PDE, eigenvalue PDE problem, where essentially you have position-dependent parameters. This gamma is essentially position-dependent, and you would see also on the next slide for a little bit simpler situation. And the parameters are stepwise constants, and we impose continuity across the interface conditions to avoid this atomistic scale. And essentially, this
is pseudo differential.
Sorry.
Sorry. Well, why is it pseudo differential? Depends on k. Depends on x.
Actually, this plot that you see here is probably even better explained. So what's happening here, you have essentially stepwise, piecewise constant coefficients in your operators here. So position dependent. Now, the model, the multiband model, again, two-band model would look like that. And now, what's going to happen if you're going to apply this? To the, say, if you take 20 wells and 20 barriers, the structure which is essentially 200 nanometers. Well, what you see, you would see from your computation what you should not see from physics of this problem, because within here and here, this is band gap. You should not see any energy levels within this band gap, but you would see with this model. And this is completely contradictory result. Now, and this is the source of these spurious solutions that I've been talking about. Because if what you should do, you should just plot this essentially Fourier, the real part of the envelope function F2 in the real space and in the Fourier space. Of course, in the real space, you would not see much. You would see high oscillations here. And also, sort of, it looks like more or less okay, because this is essentially sort of well, right? On both sides, and this is barrier, and everything else is these heavy oscillations. However, if you plot that in K space, you would see clear the picture of your problems, because this is essentially your brilliant zones, and Fourier components belong lie outside of this brilliant zone, and this is exactly the source of the problem, because the model that you are using does not satisfy the original assumptions that you impose when you were trying to derive this model. So the requirement that the Fourier expansion should be restricted to small k components is violated specifically for spurious solutions. And from the generalized multiband effective mass envelope function theory, the Fourier expansion of the envelope function should be restricted to the first brilliant zone. And this is, of course, could be clearly seen also sort of from the assumption that we impose that we make expansion with respect of this small part of your Hamiltonian. Therefore, if you have non-zero components for large k values, the entire procedure used to derive this sort of sophisticated and state-of-the-art multiband equations break down. Mm-hmm. And you have to bear this in mind. If you do, then you would have perfect agreement with what you expect from physics of this problem. Now, having this framework, you essentially could go on, because now within this framework, you could also incorporate this coupled effect that I've been talking about, and also nonlinear effects. Now, of course, not all nonlinear effects sort of you have to incorporate here, because, for example, there is no need to incorporate nonlinearity in, for example, stress-strain relationship here, because you know that for this type of structures, strain remains on the order of magnitude smaller of the elastic limit. But what is important to emphasize that essentially most of the results obtained so far in the context of band structure calculations for these low-dimensional semiconductor nanostructures are based on minimization of elastic energy only, without taking into account coupled effect, which are absolutely essential here. And again, using this framework of multiband models, we can augment our Hamiltonian for this multiband model, incorporating also this important couple effect, because as I said, all semiconductors are essentially piezoelectrics, and in many cases, it is important to incorporate this effect. So what you do, you can see the three-dimensional elasticity equations, if you can see the quantum dot situation, general situation, and this is constitutive relation connecting stress and strain, and also with electric field components, and you couple your elasticity equations with Maxwell equation in the dielectric approximation. And of course, you have the coupling of your Maxwell equation back to the elasticity equation, which are essentially demonstrated here. Electric displacements are connected to strain and connected to electric field. And then essentially the procedure that you realize sort of in the end is the following one, that In order to compute essentially optical spectra or eigenvalues of your problem that we are considering, first we reduce the Maxwell equation to this type and solve it simultaneously this elasticity equation, where these sigma components are connected via constitutive relationships and coupled essentially mechanical and electric field. Then your output from this model allows us to define the Hamiltonian of the system, correcting for the strain, using this correction for the strain and piezoelectric effect on the same computational grid. And then we solve remaining eight coupled elliptic partial differential equations to find out eigenfunctions and eigenenergies corresponding to subbands under considerations. And this procedure so could be extended further, but I don't have time to talk about that. So just to conclude, so we consider a number of academic examples which are well established in the literature. So this is sort of quantum dot, pyramidal quantum dot sitting on this wetting layer. As I said, this example, for example, is very well established in the literature as a test example, and we tested our procedures on this sort of, but we also consider sort of interesting practical applications. This is so-called Heckwood applications, which much more complicated geometry. And again, this multiband sort of model with our correction works well. And finally, probably for some people would be interesting also that sort of we can see that also semiconductor super lattices. So basically you have, layer here in between where you would expect confinement. So basically what you compute here, you compute eigenvalues and eigenfunctions. This is the first eigenvalue, second, third, and so on. What is important to point out here, though, that those additional coupled effects that I was talking about are reflected here. And what they do, they change the geometry. As a mathematician, you can stop here because you give your eigenpairs. But what physicists do, based on these eigenpairs, they compute some optical characteristics. And those optical characteristics are computed via integrals. And those integrals would include your wave functions. And the shape of those wave functions, of course, would influence the properties of the structures that you are considering. So I'll conclude, because Rolf is already up. So based on generalized multiband effective mass envelope function theory, we derived multiband equations for the one-dimensional case. We demonstrated that the failure to restrict the Fourier expansion of the envelope function to small k components, which is in the heart of this multiband model derivation, may lead to spurious solutions with no physical meaning. Even though, as I said before, you fit your experimental parameters, state-of-the-art experimental parameters. On an example of heterostructure, we provided detail of this procedure of how such non-physical solutions can be removed and evaluated the accuracy of the result obtained. I have not talked about that much. And also, I have not talked about that much here about this example, but the preprint is coming at the HOPE website. So you would see this part there. And also what I was talking about, that the developed framework allows us to account for the coupled effects that may lead to the well-pronounced modification of quantum dot properties. And these effects, for example, include strain and piezo effects. So I guess I don't have any more time. So thank you very much for your attention.